Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Escapees Webinars. So we're chatting with Courtney Woogie today. And we've got lots of great information for you about RV insurance. He's got quite a few topics he wants to cover. But Courtney, would you like to take a moment to introduce yourself?
Sure. Well, good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining. And thanks for Georgianne and the Escapees folks for letting me do this. My name is Courtney Woogie. It's obviously a very interesting name, as everybody, if you can see me, I am a male. And I am the second generation owner of FCIS Insurance. And I have been the president and owner now for 6 years. And I moved my family up to Forest City, Iowa, where I currently live, from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. So I've lived around Iowa my entire life, but obviously traveled, used to have an RV. So I'm kind of in between rigs right now until my kids get a little older. But I'm the president of FCIS Insurance.
And also something we're going to touch on a little bit today, and if you want to explain a little bit of it here on the front end, FCIS also operates a program called RV Advantage, which is a great service. And some of you may be tuning in because you heard that FCIS offers our RVOU and our RVers Bootcamp attendees, our graduates, discounts through their RV Advantage program. Do you want to talk just a little bit about RV Advantage real quick, Courtney?
Yes, great segue. So we are an RV insurance specialist in the industry. So we are an independent insurance agency by virtue of our philosophy, and we specialize in RV insurance. So we are an advocate and are always looking at the different underwriters and carriers that promote that specialized product. So every year we evaluate the carriers to see, do they have the standard that we want to represent? In that, just to your point, there are discounts for completing the safety course, because we obviously safe drivers drive down losses, which drives down hopefully premium. So that's why we advocate for some of those discounts to come into play for those that take the step to become more safe. So yeah, I want to keep this as informal as possible. I'm going to talk a lot about high level industry things that are happening. I have a staff of 20 here, licensed agents that facilitate all the quotes and you know, detail particular questions that people have. So what I'm going to chat about is very high level industry stuff. And it is very important to note that this is your RV insurance, your P&C insurance. I don't like to dabble in the health insurance realm because that's a whole different ball of wax. So what we're talking about here is your motorhome, your travel trailer, your fifth wheel. And what I like to say is we start with that. And if you like us and you like that rate and you like working with us, certainly we can cover your towed, your truck that's pulling your fifth wheel or trailer, leads to your house, leads to all the rest of your toys. So we like to earn your business over time based on our reputation. So anyway, very high level, there are lots of things that are going on in the RV insurance world. So we represent currently four different carriers, A-rated specialized RV insurance carriers. And here in the last year, I'll just start with kind of the mergers and acquisitions side of the house. What's been going on is, on a positive note, lots of new people have been buying RVs. Everybody has kind of felt it. We may have met friends that say, hey, they're looking at your rig. Maybe they want to buy one and they're investigating and doing that. So all of that is very good for clubs like the Escapees and me in the industry. But the insurance carriers are saying, these new people, we know that history says they get a little nervous once they buy their first rig. Right? And I think everybody has been there. They get the keys to their first motorhome or they hook up to their travel trailer and they're a little nervous for the first year to 18 months to kind of figure it out. Well, what's been happening is unfortunately those people have bumped into a few things. And I think everybody has experienced their first little fender bender when they're new. So that causes some claims frequency and carriers are having to pay out for that entry-level driver, which that's why we're always encouraging you to get educated on the front end, join a club like Escapees, and understand to drive safe and take all of the appropriate safety measures to understand your rig. So throughout that process, I can wholeheartedly tell you that the last couple of years, insurance carriers have been losing some money, right? Bad for them, good for customers, because rates really haven't been going up until what occurred last year. And the first one off the bat is here, National Interstate. For those that have had a National Interstate policy, they have, starting about a year and a half ago, they announced to the industry that they are seeking a buyer for their policies. They were known initially in the industry, as in the insurance world, as a tour bus company. They specialized in that, and they got into the RV industry with specialists like myself probably about 15 years ago. So we were one of the first agencies to help them understand what a good RV insurance product is. Well, here recently, they've been seeing some losses on their books, and they decided to get out of that world. So for those that have a National Interstate policy, last year leading to this year, you may have got some notices that says non-renewal. And it can be a scary thing. You open up your mail, you see your email, and it says, my insurance carrier no longer wants me. Crap, what have I done? In some cases, you may never have had a claim, and you're like, why do these people not want me? Well, they have sold their book of business to a company called Safeco. And Safeco Insurance is a Liberty Mutual owned company. And it takes about a year to 18 months to transition those policies. So us as an agency that has represented National Interstate have been trying to communicate all of the stuff that our customers have been getting, right? They get a non-renewal notice from National Interstate. They get a letter from Safeco. They may get a letter from their agency saying, no problem, we can help you, and here's what we can do for your unique situation.
Yeah, Thomas actually has a question about that specifically. He asked, why do carriers not want to insure full-timers, or they charge a much higher premium for full-timers?
So that's a great question. So I'll answer the second one first. The reason why they charge a little higher rate, in my simple terms, you're using it more, the full-timer is in their unit a lot more, and the chance of having a loss is a little higher according to the actuaries and the underwriters. It makes sense. If it's in the garage, the only chance of a loss is by fire or something, a tornado, versus if you're using it, your chance of a loss goes up. So the folks that sit in the windowless rooms at these carriers that look at losses, and they see this full-timer segment over here has had some higher frequency and severity, they start charging rate for that. And I'll jump into, you know, they're not picking on full-timers. They're just trying to accurately cover that section of the market. And one question I always get is, well, how do they know I'm a full-timer? No, they're not putting a GPS chip in your policy that you're carrying around in your glove box and knowing that you're using your rig, you know, over a certain number of days. The insurance classification for a full-timer is 150 nights. So if you sleep in your RV 150 nights or more, you're, according to the RV insurance world, is a full-timer. Now, there are two types of full-timers. One that still owns sticks and bricks. I sleep in my RV more than 150 days, but I still own a home. The insurance carrier is going to say, well, if they still own a home, they're probably going to keep their RV in a garage some of that time, so their rate would be a little less than the guy that is a 365 full-timer, where that's their only bed, unless they're going to be in a tent or at a friend's house. They are sleeping in their RV. So that rate is adjusted accordingly. So the first part of the question was, why do they not want to, in some cases, why does Safeco, in this example, in some states, not want the full-timer's risk? Well, according to their higher-ups that sit on the 12th floor in some big city, they've determined that it's too risky, that subset of the population, they don't want to take the risk that particular individual has a claim, and their adjuster has to come out and say, I'm sorry, you're a full-timer, we don't cover that. So they simply make it be known that they don't want that type of business. And again, they're not picking on you. There are a lot of good full-timers, but it's just somebody has made that decision. which is why our philosophy is being independent. We have options for you. It just, in some cases, may be limited because some carriers say, look, I don't want that full-timer. Okay, no problem. We will look at these other two options over here. So aside from the whole national interstate to Safeco, and it's worth noting, by the way, that Safeco is a Liberty Mutual company. If those that have heard that name in the marketplace, again, very reputable company. They're just kind of learning the RV insurance world. You know, there's two philosophies. You can buy something to learn about it, or you can start your own. Those of us that have started our own businesses, right? You can start something from scratch. There are various roadblocks to that. Or what National Interstate and Safeco done has bought and sold something. And in my professional opinion, Safeco, very reputable, A-rated, but they're going to take some time to learn what the RV industry is all about, right? Everybody on this phone, myself, George Ann, we all have seen and we're advocates for the industry. Well, there is a learning curve to that. All right, the next carrier I want to talk about, and they're what I call a managing general underwriter. So it can be a little confusing in the marketplace, but those that have had Blue Sky RV insurance before, they are a managing general underwriter. The A-rated carrier that has been taking that risk is a carrier called RLI. So Blue Sky has managed the claims and managed the policies. But if you have a claim, some of those adjusters have come out and they have been an RLI adjuster. So last year, they also announced that they are exiting the marketplace. And their reason is, we have sustained too many losses in the RV insurance world, and we are going to be just non-renewing. So kind of the same what National Interstate did, except for there was no buyer for those policies. They simply said, our losses are too high. We're just going to go ahead and start non-renewing these policies. There was no other carrier there to pick up those policies. So for all of those customers that had Blue Sky RV insurance, they simply just got a non-renewal letter saying, hey, by the way, in 45 days, your coverage is just going to stop. Which, you know, there wasn't, in the first case, a follow-up by Safeco that said, look, I know National Interstate has non-renewed you. I'm here to offer you a new policy. So those people just simply got non-renewed. So in our case, last year we were getting a ton of calls saying, can you help? And our answer is, well, but of course, you know, sorry that Blue Sky is exiting the marketplace. That was their decision, not ours. They, you know, we represented them. They were a good option, but they have said, looking at their numbers, our losses are too high. We're just going to non-renew all these policies. So that's mostly bad news. Again, they're not picking on anybody. It's just some of their claims have been high and they've seen some frequency and just decided to get out of the marketplace, right? We get to decide every day if we're going to wake up and put on a blue shirt or a red shirt. And in Blue Sky's case, they just decided we're no longer going to do business in the RV insurance world. I'm just looking at my notes here. Back to those folks that have got a Safeco renewal. One good thing that has happened with those folks, Safeco is honoring the premium rate that you had with National Interstate on renewal, right? So us as an agency, we would review that and say, your coverage is pretty much the same you had with National Interstate. We recommend you renew with Safeco. And one of the advantages of that is they're going to lock your rate in for an entire year to sort of incentivize you to stay with Safeco. So some people have been seeing rate increases. And fortunately for that crowd, if you have the right coverage with Safeco, you're going to pay the exact same rate. It's not going to go down. You know, if you're one of the lucky ones that have seen a decrease in the last 5 years, I would love to meet you. Congratulations. Please call me because let's have some ice cream and celebrate. But in that particular market, the Safeco folks are honoring that rate for 1 year, which is a very good thing. You know, you don't get an increase. Life is good. I have the right coverage for the next year. All right, let's go on to another carrier that has experienced some industry challenge, and that's Nationwide. Some folks maybe know Nationwide that has acquired a company called Allied. And this happened about 10 years ago, but they've kept the Allied brand name. And here in the last 2 years, they have transitioned those Allied policies to Nationwide. Nationwide has just been a parent company to Allied until recently. They've rebranded everything to Nationwide Insurance. So those folks that have had a Nationwide Insurance RV policy probably have seen some rate increases, and they've made the decision to stay in the industry, even though they've sustained a few losses. They've said, nope, we're in this for the long haul. Let's just tighten down our underwriting. So for somebody seeking a quote for Nationwide, their underwriting guidelines have tightened down to where they're no longer accepting units that are longer than 35 feet. Again, their decision, they've looked at their numbers and said, you know, for those people that have had units longer than 35 feet, they're causing some claims. Again, they're not picking on those people. They're just strictly looking at, you know, maybe there's a correlation between the longer the unit, if it's over 35 feet, maybe the bigger chance of them bumping into something. So we've taken the approach is, hey, I'm sorry, Mr. Customer. Yes, you have a unit that's over 35 feet. Awesome. We still have options for you. There are other carriers that will entertain that risk. So they're still a great A-rated carrier. They're still sticking in the industry. However, they've just made some underwriting adjustments to try and limit some of their losses as they move forward.
We have a couple of questions as we're talking about all these different carriers now and underwriting and that sort of thing. Yep. So thinking about Safeco and National Interstate, Carol asks, is Safeco's coverage the same as National Interstate if you had them last year?
They are doing their best to honor the same coverages, but what I will say is a couple different cases. One, we talked about the full-timer. Depending on your state, in my professional opinion, they do not have the legal coverages. Number two, folks that have had diminishing deductible, you know, a very good thing for your policy. You stay claim-free every year. Your deductible goes down by $100. Those, in some cases, are resetting, right? And it makes sense. You're going to a whole new carrier. If you've diminished down to zero, Safeco is saying, we'll honor your coverages except for the deductible. We're going to reset it back to $1,000. May not be a big deal to somebody. It absolutely is a big deal if you have a loss and you would have had to pay zero and now you have to pay your deductible. So just those two examples are sort of two things that you just need to look out for. But I have seen probably in 50 to 60% of the cases, it is very similar. I would just encourage you to review it and call your agent and just be careful of what your situation is.
And so Dave has asked, so thinking again about underwriting and coverage, how do the larger carriers such as Progressive, Nationwide, National General, and Foremost, those sort of things compare as far as coverage goes?
Fantastic question. So we represent all of those carriers. Those four that you just named are what I consider, my expert opinion is, they all carry a good RV specialized product. However, like any different carrier, it's just like my Chevy is a little different than my wife's Nissan, right? It still drives, but there are a few nuances. And I'll give you an example. National General has an RV specialized product, but they have what's called layup coverage. In the wintertime, when you're not using it, you can remove some coverages like your collision and like some other things from your product or from your policy and have that deducted off of your premium. Nationwide has a good full-timers language in their contract. Progressive has very good discounts available. Everybody wants to understand and get to the apple to apple comparison. Well, I would say that yes, it is an apple. It is an RV insurance product, but you're really looking at a green apple versus a red apple. So every carrier has a little bit of a different spin on how they want to discount people, how they want to surcharge people. how they want to handle their diminishing deductible, how they want to underwrite different segments, like full-timers, like people that domicile in South Dakota but live in Texas, or, and we'll get to that subject later as well, but different underwriting guidelines. Every carrier has different underwriting guidelines, but all good carriers if you can get a good rate. So I hope that helps. And I'll say, George Ann, if people have specific questions on, hey, I have Foremost, I'd like a quote on all the other carriers because I am a full-timer that registers in Montana, but I'm in Florida most of the time and I own a home in Arizona and I get my mail in Livingston with the Escapees program. Right, that's a mouthful. If you have those situations, that's what we do. We would love to talk to you about those and try to get a policy that fits your particular needs.
And I think you actually just answered Carol's follow-up a little bit better. She said that it was when you were talking about how full-timers may not get the same treatment from Safeco as they did from National Interstate. And what he's talking about is the underwriting process, that Safeco may not underwrite full-timers the same way that National Interstate underwrote full-timers. Is that correct? Yeah,
absolutely. And specifically in the National Interstate contract. So when you pay your premium, you're agreeing to a one-year contract. It's as simple as that. In the National Interstate contract, in my professional opinion, it is crystal clear if you are a full-timer, there is no question when the adjuster comes out and, you know, you're an honest person and say, you know what, I had an accident. And yes, as, you know, my wife is my witness, I am a full-timer. The adjuster says, no problem. It's written here in the contract. You can stay in your RV as long as you want over 150 days. We will pay you for your loss. In the Safeco contract, it is very vague. And I would go even to say that in some states, it's just not even written in there. And in other states, it says it excludes people that are in their RV more than 150 days. So again, this only comes up at time of loss. People pay premium dollars to know that they're covered. If you don't have a loss throughout the year, congratulations. You didn't have to go through that process. You just donated your premium dollar to the insurance carrier to help pay other people's losses. So what happens at time of loss? You're going to be an honest person. The adjuster is going to call you. You're going to call us or call your agent or call whomever and say, I had a loss. We're going to turn in the claim. You're going to get assigned an adjuster. And that adjuster is going to ask you a series of questions. And because you're an honest person, you're going to answer them truthfully. And they're going to ask, how many nights did you stay in your coach last year? And you're going to say, oh, by gosh, Joe and I, we went to the Grand Canyon. We went to Florida. We even went to Iowa in a snowstorm in the RV. And by gosh, that's where we had our loss. And that adjuster is going to say, in your policy does not cover you to be a full-timer. And he's going to have to apologize, and it's going to be a bad situation. So that, in simple terms, it's contract language. And I get the boring task of reading these things, and that's just my job. And my agent's job to kind of understand those different contracts so that we can provide the best policy to our customers.
Okay. Well, so thinking about comparing different options then, William has asked, are there any disadvantages to using your auto insurer to also cover your travel trailer? He says, for example, he has Allstate, but I know it can apply to a lot of different companies.
Yep.
And if you want to piggyback, there's another question that's very similar asking, are there any risks in covering everything with the same carrier, your home, your RV, your vehicle, your toys, et cetera?
Right. So those are fantastic questions. And I would say just very high level, it is, in my professional opinion, all things being equal, it is best to stick and have most of your risks with one carrier, right? If you have your RV and your towed or your travel trailer and your truck, it makes sense. If you're involved in an accident, you now have one adjuster, one claim versus having to turn in your truck claim versus your trailer claim, et cetera. Also, most carriers can give multi-policy discounts to try and bundle things together. So we always advocate and look at that and say, you know, thanks for giving us an opportunity on your motorhome. You know, you can bundle your auto with the same carrier, and this is the discounts you can get for bundling those things together, and even look at your home, et cetera. But what I would also say is be careful, because sometimes it is more beneficial to split those two different things out, and it comes down to rate, right? Marketing is great, and you can all say we can offer you discounts and bundle, but sometimes it actually is more financially beneficial to have your RV with one carrier and your car and your house with another carrier. It can go both ways, but I would say all things being equal, we always recommend, if we can, to bundle things with one carrier, because it does make it a lot easier at claims time, not having to deal with multiple parties.
So Matt actually has a great question that kind of ties into a lot of what we've already covered. I'm going to go ahead and go through the whole thing, but there's several questions within it.
Okay.
Is there a possibility that enough carriers will decide en masse that it doesn't make sense to underwrite full-timers and therefore create a true lack of options, which also inflates the premiums offered by the few that remain in the market? Or is that kind of what we've already started seeing?
That is a very loaded but good question. So yes, there is some consolidation. That's one thing that we are watching very carefully. And if people start not wanting the full-timer and then you're left with one or two carriers, you're right. Common logic says those carriers are going to start inflating the price to create more profit to pay for other segments of their business. He is absolutely 100% correct. However, he has forgotten about little old me in Forest City, Iowa, that's an advocate. And I constantly stress, and I'm working on this with Safeco as we speak, with some of the other specialists in the marketplace. You know, you may have an agent that's a friend of mine. I talk to these folks, and a lot of us specialists will run in the same circles, and we all have the same mission to help the RVer. So in some cases, I don't want to get into specifics, but we have band together to say, Safeco, we're going to bother you until you can cover the RVer. So it's a great question. It's very valid. It has started to happen. That rock has started to kind of slowly move down that hill. But I can give you my solemn oath that I'm trying to stop that. And my biggest philosophy is choices and options. That's my philosophy as an independent RV insurance specialist. So the specifics of it is, if we're left with just Progressive covering the full-timer and that's your only option, yes, your premiums are going to skyrocket. That's why I'm going to Safeco and saying, please put this in your contract. Here are some examples. You've seen the National Interstate examples. Talk to your attorneys. Talk to your product managers. What do I need to do to convince you to do this?
Okay, so thinking, going back to underwriting, Manning has a question about, are there any companies that ask you, for example, to stay out of hurricane states during that season, or that sort of avoidance type behavior?
Your members have some great questions. So yeah, typically what happens, so hurricanes, the NOAA, National Observation, whatever, insurance carriers track those, and when they see a hurricane forming, they will put a stop on new business in that hurricane path. So what happened last year in Texas and in Florida, all of a sudden we were getting underwriting guidelines, just getting peppered to our agents saying, no business in Florida, no business in Texas. And that usually happens about a week to 10 days before, you know, the path of this formation of the hurricane happens. So the good news is for current customers is that if they paid their premium in their policy term, you know what, they're covered. But yeah, you can't, you know, it's against underwriting and actuarial rule to say, oh my gosh, I'm going to now, I see a hurricane coming to Texas, I'm going to take out a new policy and I'm going to drive it down there and I'm going to get paid out. That is what's called insurance fraud. And I know most people do not like to see their kids or their family members behind bars, so I don't recommend that. But it's a great point that we, the insurance carriers, will send out and lock any new business from forming via their system. And they'll tell us agents, if you submit something, it will not be covered. So don't even try. So
that's interesting. I mean, that's good to know. That's interesting. I'm honestly not surprised, but because there's many programs out there that are very similar where you have to be signed up for X number of days before you can use use any of the services they offer.
Absolutely. In the middle of Iowa here, we have a lot of corn and beans, and on some of our business, we deal with farmers, and it's the same thing. You have to lock in your policy because you can't just say, you know, there's a hailstorm coming. Can I take out a policy? Well, no, there's a 7-day, you know, waiting period before your policy actually starts. So you can't just in that crop insurance world. Now in the RV world, yeah, you can start a policy today as long as there's no known weather event happening right now, like a hurricane or tornado or something that is happening. Or if you've got a known loss, if you filed a police report yesterday that you just ran into a deer and you took out a policy today and then you turn in a claim, that adjuster is going to investigate. And so obviously the rule I always have in life and in insurance is just be a good person and everything will be fine.
Something you referenced a little bit ago, maybe have a chance to go into more detail about. Alan asks, does using a mail drop address while you travel full time cause any issues with insurance? And I'm assuming by mail drop, you would also include like mail forwarding type companies and that sort of thing, like Escapees does. I know there are many others around the country.
In fact, that's a good segue into my final point here. So I would say no, as long as you talk to a specialist like us, there are no issues, because not a lot of people understand this. If you call into a call center or talk to an agent that doesn't understand RVers, you can actually have three different addresses when it comes to being an RVer. You can have something where your RV is registered, right? You can register it wherever you want. You can tag it in South Dakota, Montana, even Iowa. There are people, believe it or not, that have RVs in Iowa. you can register it, a registration address. You can have a garaging address. What I mean by garaging address is, where is the RV most of the year? Where do you sleep in it at, right? I register it in Iowa, but because it's cold up here in the winter, I'm in Florida, right? That's another address. And to, what was his name that asked the question?
Alan.
And to Alan's point, you can have yet another address where you get your mail, right? The Escapees has a mail forwarding address in Livingston. Is that right, Georgianne?
Yes.
Yeah.
We do Livingston, South Dakota, and Florida.
Okay, so there's three different addresses there. So you can have three different addresses on your policy, and it doesn't cause any issues, provided that the agent or however you bought that policy knows that you get your mail in one place, you register it yet another, but yet you keep it in yet another. If all three of those addresses are listed, then you'll get your mail and life is good. So that leads me to my next point on what is also changing is this whole registration versus garaging address. National Interstate, what they did really good at and what customers really liked is you could take out a policy in South Dakota and they would consider that your garaging address as well. They never asked the garaging question. So you would actually get a South Dakota rate, even though you may have kept it in Florida. And I can wholeheartedly tell you the rates in South Dakota for insurance are much cheaper than they are in Florida and California. So that was one thing they did really good at. Well, when they exited the business, a lot of the other carriers looked at their underwriting guidelines, and what they really care about is where do you keep your RV, which is the garaging address. So some of the value of having a registration address really is being diminished a little bit, because most of your rate is going to be based on where you keep your RV most of the time. Now, that's for the non-full-timers of the world, right? The full-timer of the world, guess what? Your rate is already going to be there because you're in your RV most of the time and you can be anywhere. So for the non-full-timer of the world, if your usage is 30 days or less, or 30 days to 150 days, which are two of the usage segments that the carriers look at, they really want to know, and we always ask the question, where is your RV most of the year? And that's where your rate is going to be based off. If it's a zip code in Texas, if it's a zip code in Wyoming, if it's a zip code in North Carolina, that is where your rate's going to be based off of. And trust me, if your usage is less than 30 days and you have a loss and you're in California, but yet your garage zip code says North Carolina, the adjuster is going to ask that question. What were you doing in California? If you just took a vacation once a year, that's great. Just be honest with the adjuster and he's going to understand that. So those are some of the value of registering it. Now there is tax value. So I will say that I'm not an attorney and I'm not an accountant. So a lot of people will register their RV in a state that has some tax advantages. That's fantastic. And that's what people can do. From the insurance perspective, we really want to know where that RV is because that's where the loss is going to occur. So I hope that kind of clears up. That's kind of my last point is a year or two ago, you could actually get a Montana or South Dakota rate, which a lot of people benefited from, but Safeco does not, their underwriting guidelines aren't like National Interstate. So that kind of gets back to the whole, is my Safeco policy just like National Interstate? That's another example where it is, but it isn't, depending on your situation. So bottom line, call us, email us, and we'll kind of review those two little nuances.
Okay.
Any other questions that have come up based on that?
We have lots more.
All right.
So we have a couple of questions since you were just talking about losses. We'll go ahead and continue on with that. Jerry has asked if you can give a breakdown of where the losses occur. For example, like there's motorhomes, tag-alongs, truck campers, fifth wheels, et cetera. Like what is the mix of losses that you know of?
Sure. So Jerry asked a question that we always get as well. And I will tell you very high level, the most common, maybe George Ann can answer this. What do you think the most common claim is on an RV?
That is a good question. Probably blowouts from tire wear and tear or like technical under the hood issues.
Okay. So yeah, tire blowouts is number two. Number one is actually glass. So rock chip comes up.
I didn't think about that. Yep.
You know, class A motorhomes, there's glass everywhere. Travel trailers, you got glass everywhere. Fifth wheels, you got glass everywhere. So, you know, when you're towing it, rocks fly up, debris flies up from other things. When it's stationary, you know, wind and hail and different weather events, the first thing to break is, you know, your glass. So the most common claim is glass, which is why in some states, and we always recommend carrying a lower deductible on your glass because it's just common to have a glass breakage. Number two is tire blowouts. You want to be, you know, the safety, and they go through this in the RVOU program is make sure your tires are properly inflated. If you properly inflate your tires, the risk of having a blowout is less. If they're not properly inflated, you have a tire blowout, that's when accidents tend to occur. And it makes sense if you don't have a tire, it can't drive correctly. So aside from that, honestly, Jerry, what's been happening amongst, I talked about this to start this webinar, a lot of the newer RVers that are entering the market backing into things. So again, I've been there. My first year of RV ownership, I backed into something. It was only because I wasn't used to driving it. I was going 2 miles an hour, but I still backed into something. And so I would say amongst the newer segment, backing and cornering tends to be where we see a lot of claims frequencies. And that's where the carriers are saying, you know, I bet that person's a newbie. Again, no disrespect to them. Congratulations, you're having fun in your RV. You just quite haven't figured out how to back and corner this thing.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want to try and take my first right turn in a 40-something foot motorhome. That's going to be a headache.
Yeah, and that's why programs like RVOU exist, because it's a win-win. You should educate yourself so you feel more comfortable, and yes, the insurance carriers give a discount for that because they feel that you're prepared for those sort of circumstances.
So the question was, why are there so few insurance companies that will cover HDTs, which are the heavy duty trucks, the ones that basically look like semi-tractors?
Yep.
And or lengthy greater than 35-foot fifth wheel trailer?
So yes, there are becoming fewer and fewer. And you guys heard me talk about claims. There's two things that carriers look at with claims. It is the frequency of a claim and the severity of a claim. And what you're talking about, heavy duty trucks, longer RVs, they're higher in value. And the heavier they are, the more damage they can cause, which fits into the severity end of a claim. So when a carrier only collects $1,500 or $2,000 on an annual premium, but yet they have to pay out $300,000 on a total loss, they call that a severe claim, and that goes into their loss numbers. So they get nervous. And I'll say some carriers, not all, there are less options for the heavy duty or the greater than 35 foot RVer. But thankfully there still are options. So it fits into that severity category of you just have a heavy thing on the road that can cause a high severe liability claim, or even the property on those heavy things are more expensive than a $15,000 mini drop trailer.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yep.
So another question going, that was one that was asked early on. What is the insurance impact of running a business out of your RV? We have a lot of members who do this, especially those that are an under 65 crowd that are traveling full time while earning an income.
Fantastic. I fit into this category, right? I'm a business owner. I've had an RV. Do I entertain people in my coach and talk about business? Guilty as charged. So what I would say is, if depending on your business usage, if you wrap your RV and say, I am selling toy cars and I'm carrying inventory of toy cars in my coach, and when I'm stationary, I put my jacks down, it's a retail shop. That is a lot more challenging to cover versus somebody like me in the service industry. If you're a consultant, if you're an insurance agent, if you're George Ann and you work for Escapees, and you're just doing it on an incidental basis where you're just having people in your RV and you're talking about it, you're on your laptop, those are what's called incidental commercial coverages. And our carriers do have a product where it is called light commercial. If you're a blogger, you're a consultant, you're a video person, it's very easy. But where it becomes challenging is if you wrap the thing and you make your RV a billboard that attracts, you know, people to your coach. And if you carry inventory, if you're selling things out of your coach, it becomes a retail place. That is kind of on the high end spectrum, where we then would have to write you a full blown commercial policy. And yes, commercial policies have higher rates, but you want to pay that higher rate because, again, when you have a loss, the adjuster is going to come out and it says, and he's going to ask, why do you have Tim's Toys as a billboard wrapped in your entire coach? Are you selling toys out of your RV? And you're going to say, well, yes, Mr. Adjuster, I am. And he's going to say, I'm sorry, you don't have a commercial policy for your RV. So bottom line, we can cover those. It just takes a little more investigating on what you're exactly doing commercially with your RV.
So then that brings up a question that I have on behalf of PSA members that I know we have. What about something as simple as you just put your blog name on your RV, and your blog name, like your blog does generate at least passive income from affiliate and that sort of thing? I know that's a bit of a trickier question, but as you have
it is a trickier question. I would want to see how big that is written, right? What's the intent of what you're trying to do? If you're just going to write it by your license plate, just to, as a talking point and say, my website's written by my license plate. Or is your intent to say, I'm driving down the road, here is georgiannaaustin.com. Please visit my website because I'm the coolest blogger ever.
Of course.
That if you're using it as a billboard, that's one option. But if you're just kind of putting it, by the door or somewhere, it's much easier to insure on a light commercial because that's purely incidental, where you're using it as a talking point when you meet at a campground as kind of a business card Look, go look by my door. There's my website versus a billboard. So I know that's not too specific, but again, what happens? Yeah.
I understand it as a very, something you would need to have that one-on-one conversation with the individual.
Absolutely. Partner. So what our agent's going to ask you is, great question, please send me a picture. And then that picture is going to go to an underwriter and they're going to say, yep, that looks purely incidental, or no, you know, they're using that as a billboard on I-35. We're going to have to rate that on a commercial factor. So everybody's got an iPhone and a smartphone. Take a picture, send it to us. We'd love to look at it.
Sounds good. Yep. Okay, so we're going to skip around a little bit more. So Randy has a question about premiums and for full-timers. He says they became full-timers last year and moved their domicile from Wisconsin to Texas. Mm-hmm. Their premium went up by almost 50% because of this domicile change, even though they're rarely physically in Texas. Yep. Is this a common practice for insurers?
So I would want to know talk to Randy and want to know his entire case, right? It doesn't sound like just because he went from Wisconsin to Texas, it doesn't sound like that's the sole reason why it jumped 50%. What may be baked in there is maybe the carrier just had a normal 15% rate increase across the board anyway. Had he kept it in Wisconsin, he may have seen a 15 to 20% rate increase anyway. So I would be shocked if it was, and I would say, based on being a subject matter expert, 50% increase going from not a full-timer to a full-timer, there is more to the story than that. And it's not just because you're a full-timer. Is there going to be an increase? Absolutely. Expect it. And it sounds like Randy was expecting it. He just was not expecting 50%. So Randy, please call us. We'd love to see, and look at your policy to see where, and look at if you different domicile options for you.
Okay. So here's a great kind of overall question. What are the basic gaps in RV insurance that RVers should be aware of? William has asked and mentioned specifically, you said there are some full-timer issues. What other issues are there to consider?
Full-timer is a big one. Another big one is the settlement option. And this is one I'm very passionate about. So if I get in my soapbox and I talk too long, Georgiana, just shut me down. So this is the whole reason we are in our agency is become an RV insurance specialist, because my father, the founder, was an advocate in the early 80s and authored and came up with the first total loss replacement RV insurance policy. Founder of Winnebago came to my father and said, can you fix this depreciation issue when it comes to RVs? So, excuse me. One of these settlement options is if you're the original owner of an RV or you buy a brand new one, you can take out a total loss replacement policy where you're covered. And if you have a total loss in the first five model years, the insurance carrier will pay for a brand new coach, like, make and model. Because what was happening was you buy an RV, let's just use round numbers, $50,000. It's brand new. This was in the early 80s, so they were a little cheaper back then. And you take out a $45,000 loan against that thing because you only put $5,000 down. 2 years later, that thing is depreciated down to $35,000 and you have a total loss. Well, maybe you still owe $40,000 to the bank. What a crummy deal. You not only have a loss, you can no longer use your RV, and you have to pay $5,000 to the bank to get rid of this loan you have on it, because the insurance carrier only pays actual cash value. Well, therein lies what our agency did in the early 80s with my father, took and advocated to the carriers to develop a total loss replacement settlement options. First five model years, replace your RV with something new. The next five, six through 10, purchase price guarantee. Where that differs, and I'm not picking on this carrier, I swear I'm not, State Farm and some of the captives of the world do not have a total loss replacement policy. So that's one settlement option. The second one we offer is what's called agreed value. For those folks that want to lock in their value of their coach, you can have a bill of sale that you bought it from an RV dealership, or you can have it appraised, and you can lock in that value for a certain number of years. So it takes out that depreciation. So you're comfortable. Yes, you have to pay a little more premium dollars for it, of course, because you're locking in that, again, round numbers, $50,000 value in your RV. And I would say for those Airstreamers out there, they've experienced that their Airstream actually goes up in value. What a concept, right? I own this thing and it actually goes up in value. It's like a classic car. So total loss replacement and agreed value are two settlement options that the State Farms, all the captors of the world, they don't offer those types of settlement options. They only offer what's called actual cash value, which at time of loss, your RV is valued, and that is going to be your settlement option. They don't care what you owe to the bank, right? They just say, it's worth this, we're going to pay this. So I hope that helps clear up. So so the full-timer is a unique thing, the settlement option. I would say a third thing is your campsite liability, right? Your other carriers of the world insure it like an automobile. Well, I don't know many people that sleep in their automobile. You know, maybe there could be the guy out there that uses it as an RV, but that's not very common. So when you're camping, you will need liability around your campsite. You're outside, your awning is out, and your neighbor comes over to say hi to you, and oh my gosh, they just hit your awning on their face, and now they're in a medical predicament. Well, you may need liability coverage to cover that area around your RV. So that's called either campsite liability, or there's a few other liability terms, but that is on a specialized RV insurance product that is absolutely necessary. That, again, I'm not picking on them, but State Farm doesn't cover that. And I'll say last but not least is personal contents. If you take your automobile, dump it over, what's going to fall out? You may have a few quarters, some chapstick, you know, French fries in the back from your kids, etc. Not a lot of value of things. Well, take your fifth wheel, your travel trailer, your motorhome, dump it over. What's going to fall out? Pots and pans, all of your equipment that you take on the road. Could be thousands of dollars worth of stuff. In a normal ACV standard policy, it does not have personal contents. What we advocate for is in the RV insurance product, you can put up to $99,000 worth of personal contents that you have in your RV, right? For those folks that are photographers and they take a lot of pictures.
There are a whole lot of IT professionals that travel all the time and have computers.
Yeah. I mean, I just bought one of these Surface Pros. I mean, they're not cheap. No. And if I got that, you know, I rarely take it in my car unless I'm traveling a long ways, but all of those people that work in their RV and have, you know, lots of equipment, it can be thousands of dollars worth of stuff. Mm-hmm. So those are just four examples. There's dozens of them. I mean, our agents can walk through kind of the differences between a other carrier product and one that we can offer.
All right. Manning has asked if there are any RV brands that get better rates.
So great question. Are there RV brands? Yes, there are, but I'm going to plead the fifth on that because I don't want to give people to one brand or the other.
Gotcha.
I will say that yes, some brands and some models have they don't have many losses. And what insurance carriers look at is they look at these spreadsheets and say, where are a lot of our losses happening? If they see brand A have a lot of fires because, you know, some of the wiring is starting on fire, well, guess what's going to happen to the rate in brand A? Well, it's going to go up. And if they see brand B, that is, there isn't many losses that occur amongst some of the, you know, internal workings, the plumbing, the electrical, fires, et cetera, they're going to put that back in the rate. So I don't want to talk specifics. What I would tell you is that you can call an agent and say, and play that what if. And if you're looking at a new coach, they'll send you a quote. If you're looking at buying a 2018 Airstream versus a 2018 Newmar, you know, that's a travel trailer to a motorhome, bad example, but they can run you a quote based on two things that you're looking at. And I will also tell you that that's kind of the carrier's secret sauce. If when I ask, even if I ask the executives at a carrier, you know, tell me which product gives the best rate. Well, they're never going to disclose that to me because that's their internal secret sauce on where they set their rate.
All right. So Matt has asked another question. Is the follow-up to the hurricane question from earlier, is there a best time to shop for a new RV policy?
There is no. So do rates get based on time of year as a whole? No. So carriers have to file their rates with the state insurance commissioners, and they can do that any day of the week. Every state has their own requirement on reviewing the rate increase or decrease. Again, if you've ever had a decrease, congratulations. It's because the insurance world is governed by the insurance commissioners of each state, those carriers have to file those rates. And they can do so at any time. They just need to go through a review process, and every state is different. So there is no right or wrong time to take out an insurance policy. It all depends on when underwriters and actuaries review their rates and decide to either adjust up or adjust down or initiate a new product offering. Like I'm trying to do with Safeco, right? If I'm successful here in the next year and Safeco says, you know what, Courtney, you are right. We need to help these full-timer RVs and put that in our contract. That can happen anywhere. Hopefully I get off this webinar and I get an email saying, Courtney, you were right. You know what? I would go celebrate. Then they would start the process for that. But my hunch is that it's going to take a little time for my advocacy to work.
Dave has asked, he currently has the policy with Progressive, which I think you can still take the insurance company specifically out of it. How should a full-timer handle the garaging question? He has a full-timer's package, but they still want to know the garaging address.
They do. So that's still one of the questions is, so if you literally move around every single day and you're just driving 365 days a year, unfortunately, you'll just have to pick a zip code that you're in, you know, one zip code that is you spend the majority of your time. If the majority of your time is only 3 days in that zip code, well, that becomes your garaging zip code. You're a full-timer, and if you're a full-timer without sticks and bricks, like you're sleeping in it every night, you're already going to have that full-timer rate built in. So the zip code on garaging probably won't matter as much. But at the end of the day, you just have to pick your favorite zip code.
You're talking about needing to get an appraisal on an RV earlier to be able to get the correct value. Do you know of anyone who can do that? Because he's tried before and has not been able to find anyone.
Absolutely. ivans.org. It's ivans.org is a appraisal network that I believe when you go to that website, you can pick your state and then it will give you a list of certified appraisals that you can call and tell them where you are and set up a time frame where they can come out and appraise it. And I believe with technology, they can even do sort of a webinar piece where you can kind of show them around and do it digitally as well. I think they're having an option where they can do it remote and they can appraise your coach and certify the value of it from anywhere, as long as you have a good connection and they can properly assess what you have.
Thank you so much, Courtney, for all of your information. This has been incredibly informative for me as well, and I'm excited to learn this. Hopefully, our attendees have felt the same.
I hope I didn't bore anybody. There are certainly more topics when it comes to this, which, you know, I hope these webinars continue. We can do these as often as you guys want. I certainly won't be the only agent that does these, because sometimes I don't know all the answers. I'll be truthful on that. You know, I don't quote every day, but I can assure you we are trying to advocate for the RVer, and we are just a call or a click away to have that question answered. Yeah, there are on that topic, there are multiple ways you can find us. Certainly, you know, we're the button on our village. You can go to the Escapees page, call us an 800 number, send us an email. Of course, we're on Facebook. We have a Twitter account, and you know, you can send a smoke signal if you want that goes up and it says like, "Help me with my RV insurance." If it's high enough that I can see it, from wherever you're at to Iowa, trust me, I'll respond to it like Batman does.
Nice. Great. Just don't set the cornfields on fire.
That's right.
All right. Well, again, thank you so much, Courtney, and thank you everybody who tuned in. And I will be following up with you all in the next week or two. We'll get this recording edited and up live on the website along with the transcript and some more contact information. And of course, I'll follow up with Courtney with any kind of questions that remain unanswered still. And we'll get this taken care of for you.
Yep. Hey guys, it's spring. Get that RV out and have some fun.
Sounds great. Well, have a great day, everyone.
Yeah. You bet, guys. We'll see ya.